What we're going to be talking about here is an article that was published in a very good journal, the International Journal of Operations. A copy of that. And the work was done by names that are familiar with you, Martin and Inaki. And they did the original groundwork on this research, and we published some papers which were then misquoted by people as supporting the idea that ISO 9001, actually brings definite benefits to firms. We were very careful to say that there is causation possibly here, but it could be causation in one direction or in the other. So, what do we mean by that? Now, let's just imagine for a minute. I like the idea of natural water. So I went to the On yesterday, and I filled this bottle with water. I'm going to try it. Doesn't taste very good. My tummy's sore. Now, we automatically make a connection that this was water from the On. It's not terribly safe to drink. I drank it, therefore it was made me ill. Okay? It could be that there is no connection between these two events at all. It could be that I had a bad tummy because of the B-line at lunchtime, and it took a while to actually show it. So we assume causation in things, sometimes unfairly, and even research. One of the reasons that they do it is because they don't really understand the other possibilities. And in this particular paper, I was pointing out to my academic colleagues that this is the case. So I wasn't very popular because there's a lot of research that's done on ISO 9000 which reports this as benefits. And I showed in this particular research that you cannot depend that this had anything to do with ISO 9000. It's quite complicated, but I'm going to try to take you through these ideas. So, let's start. So, how do we do this? Well, first of all, we looked at quality management system certification, ISO 9000, and business performance, return on assets employed, and growth in sales. And we looked at the idea of causality, i.e. does this cause this, or is there no connection between the cause and event, or is there a possibility that what we consider to be the cause is actually the reason why it happened in the first place. I'll explain this as we go. So, attribution probably is a word you're not familiar with. But when we attribute something to somebody, we are saying this belongs over here. So attribution is about explanation. And this attribution theory that I've come up with extends and uses this thinking on research that Marty and Inaki and I did earlier. So we get some counterintuitive findings. In other words, findings that are against the current thinking in terms of ISO 9000 and its benefits. So, let's look at some claims for performance improvement. These I got off the web. In America, ANAB is the biggest registrar, big ISO registrar in the States. So because the States are so big, they do a lot of certifications. So they go in, look at the firms and so on. And of course, people pay for this, so they advertise themselves. And this is what they say. They claim 16 benefits for adopting ISO 9000, including increased efficiency, cost saving, less rework, more satisfied customers, a competitive edge over your competitors, perceived better quality by your customers, and increased market share. Pretty lot. Yeah. This is good stuff. People say, yeah, you know, ISO 9000, I'm going to get these benefits. British Standards Institute, which is a famous institute because it's one of the first standards institutes in the world, and funnily enough, ISO 9000 is based on BS 5750, which was a British standard for quality, which in turn had its origins in defence standards. NATO defence standards. So that's the origins of ISO 9000 and 9001. So this is what they say, and I got really annoyed by this, and this is why I did this article. The weight of evidence for confirming the value of I9000 certification is growing. And they quote some research that I did with Naoki and Marty to support this. Research shows that certified companies consistently out-achieve non-certified companies, etc. And go on to claim all kinds of things up here, which isn't really true. Because of what we'll see later. Now, we're not saying here ISO 9000 is a bad thing. What we're saying is that people are jumping to conclusions. So,
how did GIF mean store get more than expected?
Sorry, say that again.
There was the word of the GIF, which I don't know why.
Okay, so we'll go back to it. Let's see.
At the very end.
Consistently out-achieve. That means achieve more. Okay? It's, the English language is a strange one. You know, say the same thing many, many different ways. Some more confusing than others. I must remember to not trip over this because we're running low on power. Okay? So that's what out-achieve means. Better performance. Okay? So, this is a model. The model that you should all know. ISO 9000 standard should mean that your quality management system has a greater emphasis on quality, less waste and duplication of effort, it's reduced costs, and that's reduced your cost of sales. Quality received by customers possibly can improve as well. Less customer attrition. Attrition means customers leaving. This can lead to lower sales acquisition costs because we don't have to keep replacing customers, and the badge itself of quality may gain sales. Now, I am not looking at this particular aspect at all, hence this is in red. Generally, people say that it can help sales, but not necessarily make a huge difference. So, this is the conventional thinking. ISO 9000 improves the way a firm manages its quality and it achieves benefit, which in the end give profitability and sales advantages. Now, we've got to be careful here. We all know what attenuation means. If I say to you, there might be something like this, I get further and further away, I get quieter and quieter and quieter. True? This is attenuation. The greater the distance between the cause and the effect, the less effect there is. So if you think of the logic of this, here we have potentially a cause, we go through a process of improving our quality standards, we get certified, this should mean that this is happening and so on. So, it is actually a lot to claim that by the time we get from here through to profitability being higher, through to sales being higher, that this is actually caused by this. So, think about it this way. Most of the research that's been published on ISO 9000 and its business benefits has used quality managers as the respondents in questionnaires. For a very sensible reason, because they're the guys who should know. Now, if you just stand back a bit and say, okay, business performance has improved. They have put in an ISO 9000 system. The quality manager obviously has been intensely involved in this. Sales have improved, profitability has improved. And he would like to think that the efforts that he put in and the quality management system has made a difference. Now, I am an accountant. I'm doing accountancy research. I put a different questionnaire to the finance director. And I say, the new financial controls that you put in, which reduce the amount of bad debt, the quality of the customers that you allow to take orders from you, more effort put into checking the creditworthiness of customers. And you say, this new system, has this increased sales and profitability? And they say, yes. So now you go to the chap who's in charge of IT, and you put in a new IT system which is providing much better information at a lower cost to the sales office, to people in operations and so on, and you ask him similar questions, which is to do with the change in your IT system, has this made a difference to sales and profitability? And he will say yes. Okay, so each one of them could be right. They all could be right, but it's wrong to think that any one of them is right. And when we only ask one person in the company, it is likely they are biased. They're biased to believe that this causation has taken place. Now, it's more than likely that lots of different things have an impact on sales, and lots of different things have an impact on profitability. For instance, firms can manipulate their profitability by the reserves that they keep against contingencies. For instance, the biggest one that's used by firms to level out their profitability is obsolescence reserves against inventory. If your profitability is really high, but you don't expect it to be so high next year, the finance director, along with the chief executive, will decide to increase their obsolescence reserve so that profitability is lower this year, and then be more optimistic about it next year in order to raise the profitability. For shareholders, the people that own the company, if it's privately owned, they want to see steadiness. So these things are manipulated, so we have to remember that. So it can be naive to think that because of attenuation that there's much of an impact here. So we would expect, to be fair to any research, that the nearer the cause, the more the effect. So we would expect less waste and duplication of effort, and that perhaps quality perceived by customers is higher because it's nearer the effect. Whereas, when we talk about business performance and financial results, this is much more distant, and lots of other things can impact on it. So we would expect the research to say less on this and less on this. I'm going to be as balanced as I can on this. Okay? So this is the conventional thinking. You have in your pack a table. That table summarises the research that we were looking at. So this is this bit of paper here. You've got it in your pack. This is your task to work on in pairs or threes as suits you. This is the task, summarise the research evidence in this links model. The model that we've got here is illustrated here. What do you conclude? Now let's do a bit of explanation on this little diagram here. What I'm going to do at this point is I'm going to switch off the projector here, and I'm going to put up an overhead projector so I can show you this.
Particular
data. You don't have it. Okay. It should be should be there.
There's
two.
So then maybe we just don't need them today.
Yeah, you don't need them today. What I want to do is explain some of the detail off the top here, okay? So although we can't see the detail, you can see yes and no's here. We've got two parts. This part here is research that hasn't looked at intervening variables. In other words, the main thing that has been researched is what effect does the motives for firms adopting ISO 9000, how much difference does that make? So this is just saying, you've got ISO 9000, what are the benefits you've got from it? So we've got lower waste and lower costs, internal benefits. We've got external benefits, better quality to customers, higher sales or market share, and we've got higher profitability. So when it says yes, it says the research has found there is a benefit. When it says no, it says that it hasn't found the benefit. When it doesn't say yes or no, it hasn't looked at it. Okay? Down the side here, we've got the different authors, and we end up with a total here for the yeses and no's. Okay? Then we have this research here, which has got intervening variables. Okay? The same thing, yes or no's. But if the variable is present, this line here, and if the variable is absent. Okay? So, look at this group, come to a conclusion, look at the diagram, say, well, how often are the occurrences in the diagram for this group? Then look at this group here, how often are the occurrences in this? You've got 5 minutes or so to do this. Everybody happy that they understand what they're doing? Yes? Have a go. Yeah, okay. So all I've done is I've summarised. The green ones are the upper part of the table, okay, where there's no attempt to look at intervening variables. The red are the ones which have got intervening variables. So let's just look at the picture that emerges here. Of course, this is nearer the source of the change, ISO 9000. Let's look at quality received by customers. This does appear to be sort of a very mixed picture, doesn't it? In terms of the research, which doesn't look at intervening variables, there's as many saying no as yes. So it's very uncertain that there's any benefits here. When we look at research that does say intervening variables, there does seem to be some advantage. You know, 4 say yes, but 2 say no. So this is uncertain at best. Yet, you would hope that customers would believe that ISO 9000 meant that the services and so on that they received from the company would be better, and maybe their perceptions would be higher. So when we look at less waste and duplication of effort, this is a better picture. It does appear to be the one thing that we might be able to claim for ISO 9000. Without intervening variables, everyone in the research has said, yes, we have found these benefits. When we put in the intervening variables, we find that on the whole, those firms that have got motives which are developmental, that they're looking to ISO 9000 to do something for them, rather than saying we've got to do it because perhaps our customers are demanding it, there are benefits found in 5 bits of research and 2 bits of research don't. So on balance, this looks as if this is more certain than any other benefit. As we move further away here, and we look at higher sales, which we think would be associated with customers believing either the badge of quality helps or that quality is actually better, we find that yes for 4 and no for 7, so inconclusive. And here we find yes 3, no 3. So we can't really genuinely claim that there are possibly higher sales. Individual bits of research might say so, but there's other research which says that it is less likely. When we look at profitability, here we're looking at a return on assets employed generally, but not always. We can see that yes and no, just 2 bits of research cancelling one another out. Yes for 4 and no for 6. Now, I want to be as fair as possible here. remember the whole idea of attenuation, we shouldn't really be expecting too much going on here, but we should be expecting much more going on here. So, on the face of it, there does seem to be evidence, and the bits of research that we've picked out here have been very carefully selected to make sure they are good quality research articles, where the methodology is faultless, the number of firms that have been looked at is large enough to be able to draw conclusions, and the methods that have been used to do the analysis are good practice. Okay? There's lots of research which isn't terribly good. So although we started off with something like just under 1,000 articles written about ISO 9000, only that list met the criteria. So there's a lot of bad research out there. So, even if we believe that ISO 9000 is the cause, we shouldn't get too excited about the benefits. In the paper, we go back, we'll be exploring what the direction of causation is. So, this might be a disappointment to you, that quality doesn't seem to make that much of a difference, but really, are we talking about quality, or are we talking about certification of a system? It may be that the system was good anyway, and now it's certified. It may be other reasons, which we'll look at. So, let me clear this away. We go back. Projector. This bit is complicated, okay? I did a lot of thinking about causation. And a way of illustrating this is if I tell you a story, okay? When I was a kid, I was naughty like all kids are, okay? And I used to go to school with two friends, and we used to walk to and from school. I lived in Ireland then, and you would see a car every hour, something like that. Very, very quiet road. It's a very safe thing to do, about a mile to school. And every day we'd walk to school, and we used to pass this big house, and it had an orchard. And when the apples were out of this orchard, there was branches hanging over the wall, which was high, about 6'7", something like this. So about 2 metres. And we would get on one another's back, and we'd pick the apples. As the weeks went by, we'd picked all those apples, so we decided we were going to go over the wall and get some apples. So there was three of us. We stood next to one another, and Milo, my friend, who was the smallest of us, he climbed up us, got onto our shoulders, and got over the wall. On the other side, there was lots of apples that were easy to reach. So we started throwing the apples over the wall. And some of the apples that he was throwing, he was picking up ones on the ground, were rotten. So we thought, we'd just throw the rotten ones back. So David, with me, was on the other side of the wall, and he threw an apple. And there was this horrible crashing noise of breaking glass. We thought, oh, Christ. Because there was lots of greenhouses in this garden. We thought, we've hit the greenhouse. So, Milo heard this and he hoofed it for the wall. He was climbing over the wall and the gardener came out from the greenhouse that had a broken glass, and he grabbed hold of Milo's foot and he managed to get away, but he left his shoe behind. Now, you know what mums are like. Yeah? If we had all the shoes and we had a few apples, we would have just said, we'd pick them on the way, they were overhanging the walls, at fair pickings. But going home without a shoe, very difficult to explain to a mother. So, eventually, all kinds of daft ideas, lies were told, but in the end, Milo and David's mother, the same mum, found out what had happened. And
She got on the phone to my mum, and my mum and theirs were really, really angry. Now, here you would think there is definite feeling of causation. I saw Milo throw that apple, and I heard the glass break. My assumption, as was the assumption of everybody who was there, the three of us, was that we had broken the glass in the greenhouse. Now, actually, we found out later that this wasn't true. The gardener was in the greenhouse with one of the maids from the house. You know, it was a big house, they had maids, gardeners, and what have you, doing the things that men and women sometimes do. Okay? And he heard this apple come down against the glass. He didn't break it, but he suddenly, from his efforts, came up and crashed his head through the glass. He broke the glass. We didn't break the glass. And we only found this out from the maid's sister who worked for my mother. So, you can bring the wrong conclusion to cause an event. And the research that we've been looking at has assumed that there is a direction of research from the effect, ISO 9000, quality management system, through to these things. And what we've done in this research is that we've tried to break it down. So what we've got is something that's difficult to explain, but I hope that example is going to help. First of all, we have companies here. I'm going to unplug this for a while and hope that it's back. We have companies that have the ISO 9000. Good research compares the results with companies that haven't got ISO 9000 that are very similar, in the same industry, the same size of company, and so on. It's close a match as possible. So, a lot of research, there's good research, has looked at what they call cross-sectional research. So what they're doing is they're comparing X with Y. And they're saying, if X has got better performance than Y, then ISO 9000 is the cause. Now, we can't prove causation there, just association, i.e. that the two things are connected. We call this, for the sake of argument, a T1 test. So, this is an effect test. The difference between the two shows that there is an effect from ISO 9000. Doesn't mean it's the cause, but there is an effect. Now, let's think about this. These firms that were certified, at some point, they were not yet certified. Now, what research has always tended to do is look at this and this, but not look at not yet certified as performance before the event compared to non-certified firms, and then after the event compared to non-certified firms. Some of the weaker research has asked quality managers who've got ISO 9000 to say, well, before you had ISO 9000, what were your costs in terms of rework? What were they after? So they asked people to judge the benefits. So this is looking at sort of historical view where a quality manager is asked, well, what was it like before? What's it like now? Okay, so this has got no sort of control in it because it's really all one person's view. So there's research that does that. And this test here is a T3 test. And this is a size effect. What is the difference between before you were certified to after you were certified? Finally, we have a test which had never been done in any of the research before, and this is what we brought to this particular paper. This is a T2 test, and a T2 test is a cause test. What you're doing is you're saying, if I have two of these tests, I can deduce the other. If I know that my performance before certification was equivalent or near non-certified companies, and then after certification there was an improvement, then the direction of causation is forward. In other words, ISO 9000 has given us the benefit. On the other hand, if when we look at this and we compare non-certified firms with not yet certified firms, so we compare these two, and then we compare them afterwards and we find there isn't much of a difference, what we've got is reverse causation. Because what we're saying is these firms that were not yet certified were better in terms of performance before certification and after certification. In other words, ISO 9000 wasn't the cause. Rather, more profitable firms were more likely to select ISO 9000 as something they wanted to do. And this can be expressed by these formulas here. Okay? So I've done that descriptively, so we won't go through that again. So, I know it's difficult, but is there anyone who sort of is completely baffled by what I've said? That's good. Either that or you're sort of thinking, let's get on with this. Thinking, no, I think I understand. So, we use this methodology to check causation. So, the research is based in a vast region of Spain, and it looked at companies between 1994 and 1998. This was the original research that we visited. And we compared these 400 ISO certified companies to a control group of 40 matched non-certified companies. So this study was published originally in the Journal of Managerial Auditing in 2002. And it basically compared certified and non-certified companies. And we're going to look at the results of that research, and then we're going to see how, by reanalyzing it, we can find out what the cause and effect is. So, this is what we're doing in this paper, extending that analysis to include not yet certified firms. So, here we're looking at the study's sales growth. This is in the original paper. Okay? So what we've got here are non-certified companies up at the top here for the different years, and we've got the certified companies. Those star there means that it's statistically significant, i.e. the tests that are done show that this difference between them is not chance, but statistically it's very unlikely to have occurred by chance. So you can see certified firms definitely showing better sales growth. It's continuing. 1 year, although it's 10.84, it's non-significant. You know, there's things going on which mean that it's not statistically sound. Not significant this year. But cumulatively, 40% versus 56% over this period. So again, it's 16%, you might say, which is statistically significant. So from this research, people can conclude perhaps that ISO 9000 is a good thing because it encourages customers to buy from you. They like what you're doing, either the products are better or the reputation of your firm because it's got ISO 9000 is encouraging. So that was sales. Let's have a look at return on assets employed. So here we have the non-certified firms versus the certified. And first of all, we see that 1995 didn't really show as much. But 1996, quite a substantial difference. This continues in 1997 and 1998. Cumulatively, 8.2% versus 6.16%. So a worthwhile increase in the return on assets employed. The asset test of most firms. You need to make a return on the money that's been invested in you. So, this was the stuff that was quoted by the British Standards Institution as supporting their research. We never said that this was definitely caused by ISO 9000 because we put in a caveat, that is sort of a conditional thing, that we cannot prove that there's causation here. It's just association. It is possible that there is reverse causation. And we're going to look at that now. So, we bring into play the not yet certified companies. So we're going to look at those tables again, but bringing in the not yet certified companies to find out whether there is a difference or not.
using the idea of the T3 test, the effect size. So, here we go. This was the table as before. Coloured part is the analysis of the not yet certified companies. So, we start off by looking at the not yet certified companies, and we find that they are actually more profitable than non-certified companies before certification and after certification. The overall effect, the T3 effect, we will do in a minute. Very similar results here. Similar results here. Even when this is non-significant, the same. Not yet certified are definitely better. So it looks as if ISO 9000 has had no effect at all or a negative effect here. Same applies here. Cumulatively, we've got 60% here compared to 56%. So on the face of it, when we look at the T3 test down here, we've actually got a reduction in performance of 4%, but it is non-significant. Every one of these is non-significant, which means, yes?
Sorry, these not yet certified, are
there these are firms,
companies?
These are firms that later on in the study become certified.
But are they part of the non-certified or another group?
Well, we separate them out so that they are not part of the non-certified. Because the non-certified don't have certification any period. Okay? So these are firms that we were viewing as small numbers of certified firms back in 1994, becoming larger as time went on. And this number here, not yet certified firms, starts off as being a large number, but becomes smaller as time goes on, because more of them are certified. But there's enough of both there to draw conclusions here.
But so if they're going to get certified, doesn't that mean that they're already changing their systems?
Well, yes, we can look at that, and we're going to do that tomorrow, okay, to see if there is a time lapse thing here, because yeah, there's a definite thought. Yeah, that they've already put in place the system, so they're getting the benefits and so on. But it does appear that even when we're back here, where most of the firms are, they haven't, they get certified here in 1997 and 1998, it's unlikely they had all their management systems in place for ISO 9000 back here. But, a year before, maybe. Okay? It's a possibility. So, in terms of sales growth, no benefits that we can actually attribute to ISO 9000. What about return on assets? Well, similar picture emerges. We see that the not yet certified companies, here there were no certified companies at that point. Okay? Each time we have a better performance, which is significant, before certification for the not yet certified companies compared to the non-certified. And this continues for every year. And overall, it's rather similar, 8.2 to 8.91. But it won't come as a surprise when we look at the T3 test that none of these are significant. Okay? So it's a bit of a blow, isn't it? A blow for all those people that were quoting the research saying that it proved that ISO 9000 had positive benefits, because it wasn't the case. What is the cause? So, these findings are known as counterintuitive, in the sense that everybody was assuming that the benefits were there because of ISO 9000. So here's some possibilities. Firms with better than average sales and profitability are more likely to pursue certification than firms that have low sales and profitability. So, think about this. The firms that are likely to have higher sales growth, likely to have high profitability, these are successful firms. Successful firms have resources. And they say to themselves, I think it would be a good idea to do ISO 9000. It doesn't actually make any difference to the quality management system. Some small changes, perhaps. They gain the badge. Nothing really has changed. That's one of the possibilities. They find it easier to bear the expense of accreditation because they're already profitable. So these firms are not looking at developmental motives, but you know, they're looking at general advantages that might be possibly perceived by having the badge. Now, why not join the club? It is possible, this was in the Basque region, which has quite a lot of firms that are exposed to international trade rather than internal, and those that are more exposed to international trade are more likely to be more competitive in the wider marketplace, lower costs, better overall revenues and what have you, growth that's coming from outside. So it could be, because they're exposed to international trade, they've already emulated the best practice of their competitors. Another possibility is what's known as common cause. Remember, we found that developmental motives had a significant impact. The research certainly found that. Clearly, a characteristic of already high-performing firms, but they do have these developmental motives generally, that whenever there's a new management idea that's around, whether it's Six Sigma, ISO 9000, being more readily available in Spain, for instance, that they say, yeah, let's do that. They're always looking for ways that they can improve their performance. And they tend to be ahead of the game in that they will be the early people that will get certified to ISO 9000 because of these developmental motives. So, because generally these firms that are more successful have got developmental motives as part of their characteristics, stage 3, stage 4 companies, yeah, that are looking always to improve, to try to get better competitive advantage, it could be that they say, okay, let's do ISO 9000. So, what are the implications? The implications are as follows. Well, future research needs to test whether this was just a one-off or whether it's something that is more general. Since, yes?
I would think, isn't it common that one company is more confident in making a deal with another company having some certification?
Is it possible?
Like, if I have to choose between two similar companies and this one is certified, it's like...
This is the badge qualities that you sort of say, okay, we'll only buy from companies that have got badge quality. There's this trend generally in Europe, looking to China, which is where we buy a lot of stuff, we will only buy from ISO certified companies, and that's where the major growth is in ISO 9000. Because without ISO 9000, you have a competitive disadvantage. But there's, you know, you get rid of that disadvantage, but you have no advantage over the other firms that have got ISO 9000 who are the same. So this is a qualifier, isn't it? Qualifier in that particular industry. So, at that time, no research checking this had been done. So since then, we've done other research looking at environmental standards, ISO 1401, and found exactly the same effect. That on the face of it, it does look as if there are benefits that come from it, a simple evaluation of the research, but when you look at whether the firms were better performing before, look at the pre-certification, they're all better firms. So it does suggest that this is not a one-off. And the fact that it's longitudinal is saying, no, this is one study, this is another study, this is another study, this is another study. So over different standards, we found the same effect. So, I'm suggesting to my colleagues that are doing the research that they need really to be more inventive about the way they did their analysis. And when people are talking about causation, they should be much more cautious because they tend to sort of say, well, we can't prove causation, that's it. But talking about counter arguments for the possibility that it can be reverse causation will give readers of their research a much better idea that it is a possibility or not. So when this paper came out, I got a lot of emails from very, very angry colleagues that I've been to, I've been to conferences with before, where they presented research, some of it was in that list that we saw there, because they are quite determined in their minds that it was ISO 9000, and to suggest that it isn't, they were very, very upset. So, you know, telling people that they're wrong doesn't make you popular, okay? So, I'm old enough that I'm not worried about it. Younger colleagues wouldn't do it because you do not upset the rest of your community. So, working in pairs. Yes. We have got another bit of paper. This is the one that's got the different tests on it, okay? So when we look at this, what I've done is I've separated out the research to show the kind of test that was actually done. T1 versus T3, okay? There was kind of easy explained, there's no T2 tests other than the one that we've done. So, does the type of test make a difference? Have a look.
Y este es el que Right, guys, time rolls on.
This is the result of my quick analysis here. One here is the top table, where there's a mixture of T1 and T3 tests. Two is the bottom half of the table, which has got the developmental motives, all of those T3 tests. Now, if we look at the T1 test, this is where you've got cross-sectional research, where you've got a control group. Only 23% show benefits out of the 22. On the other hand, those that have got T3 tests, this is where you're asking, given the quality managers, how have things improved since you've had ISO 9000? These are 74%. From a research perspective, T3 is a very weak way of researching because there's no control. You're asking one person, have things improved? A person generally with a specific bias, you've got no control against companies that are similar to say, well, has there actually been an improvement, a real measurable improvement, which isn't in somebody's head, but is in published reports. Sales in published reports, return on assets in published reports. Okay? So, T1 tests are much more reliable than T3 tests. We find that the findings are much, much weaker for the more reliable tests. T3, which is here, 18 from 24, very similar percentage to the T3s up here, 75%. Okay? But we know from the research that we've looked at that there is reverse attribution working. And you know, we can't say all of this research whether it's true or not. But what we can say for certain is that research methods make a big difference to the findings. Weaker research methods tend to show much stronger results than more objective measures. And really, this isn't much of a figure, is it? 23%. But remember that idea of attenuation. Maybe we shouldn't be expecting too much in terms of improved sales and returns on investment, just from ISO 9000, can be other things. Okay? So, research methods do make a difference. So, we should bring that into play too.